Father, I thank you again for everyone that's here with us today. Praise the Lord. On this fasting day, we will speak the word, we will hear the word, we will pray, we will see what the Lord will do. And as always, we know that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Now, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, even in the beginning, let him shine that light again in our hearts today to bring revelation, knowledge, and understanding in the name of the Lord Jesus. Inspiration from the Lord. Understanding the times that we live in and what we must do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, today's lesson will be about recovery. That's right. You know, about recovery. And I'm going to tell you a couple of stories in the Bible. So, you know, sometimes we actually lose things, you know. The Lord will bless us sometimes with things, you know. There is no guarantee that you're going to be able to keep those things all the time, because the devil's always fighting. In fact, Jesus was talking in John chapter 10 and verse 10. He said, look, the devil will come after your joy. He will come after your peace. He will even come after your life. You know, he's a devil. He said he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. So, our lesson today is about pursuing, overtaking, and recovering all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, let's take a couple of stories here that might energize us. And I love these stories when we're talking on this topic. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30, this is a story about David and some of his the people that were with him that had lost everything. They had gone with David into battle on the side of the Philistines, which really didn't concern them. But David at that time was a fugitive, you know, from Saul. He was always running. So he found a way to attach himself to the Philistines and some people that followed him as well. And he was fighting battle with the Philistines on the side of the Philistines, really. And so, you know, by the time they came in this place where they were in Ziklag, they had the Amalekites had come in there and had taken everything that they had. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burnt it with fire. And they had taken the women captives that were therein, and they slew not any, neither great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. Now, the mercy of the Lord was already walking there, that they didn't kill those people, but they carried them captives anyway. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, their daughters had been taken captives. And David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. I don't know if anybody ever wept like that, but these people wailed, you know, lamented. And David's two wives that he had at the time had been taken. Ahinoam, the Jezreelites, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. David was greatly distressed, and even all the people spoke of stoning him, because all the soul of the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. You know, it's like, look, you know, it was because of you that this evil is befalling us. Took us into a war that did not even concern us. Look at what has happened to us now. If we had been here, We would have defended our city, and this would not have happened. We left the city wide open following you into battle. And so everybody was grieved, and they wanted to kill him. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. Hallelujah. I love that fact that David would always encourage himself. My soul, why thou distressed within me? Why thou disquieted within me? I will praise the Lord. For he shall yet help me with the light of his countenance. And your help will come from the Lord. Say, well, my help will come from the Lord. He would encourage himself like that. So David said to Abiathar the priest, he said, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. Now he's going to inquire from the Lord. And the priest brought forth the ephod to David, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue? See? Will I overtake? And the Lord answered him and said, pursue! And you shall surely overtake and without fail recover all. So that's where today's lesson comes from. You will pursue, you will overtake, and you will recover all. So David, you know, he got the word of the Lord. I love the fact that David would always inquire of the Lord, you know, before he goes out to battle or go out after his enemies and stuff like that. And one time he inquired, it was these Philistines again. They came and David said, shall I pursue? The Lord said, go and pursue and you will get, you know, you get the victory. And he did. Next time they came back, those Philistines, you just can't pummel them down and leave them down. They will tell themselves, quit ye like men, be strong and go back. You know, they're like whack-a-mole. You whack them here, they spring up on the other side again. So anyway, the next time David said, shall I pursue? The Lord said, I'm going to give you a different strategy this time. You wait until you hear the moving of the spirit on top of the mulberry trees. And you go behind them like this. You go over here, you do this, you do that. So the Lord gave him strategy. But here I want to talk about pursuing, overtaking, and recovering all. But that's what the Lord told David here. Now, there were some stories in the life of David before this point. But if you read the rest of this story, David actually went and pursued these people. The Lord also brought him a destiny helper. He met somebody that told him, you know, say, hey, you know, who are you? And so forth. He said, well, I'm a young man of Egypt and a servant to an Amalekite and so forth. My master left me 3 days now and I fell sick and so on. And the mentor made evasion and all these things. So, you know, David said, well, can you bring me down to this company? And they said, well, I will, but, you know, don't kill me. Don't deliver me into the hands of my master either, you know, and I will bring you to this company. So they made an agreement and they brought him down. And David found all the people that had taken all their stuff. They were spread abroad over the earth. They were eating, they were drinking, they were dancing, they were celebrating because of the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines. You know, and they took all of the stuff that David and all his fellow had, their wives, their everything. Their sons, their daughters, their belongings, they took everything. So they were rejoicing. And when David saw them, he remembered the word of the Lord. I said, pursue, and you will overtake them, and you will recover all. Now he has pursued, and he has now overtaken them. Overtaking means you will find them. They've gone ahead of you, but you will come up against them after you pursue them. But first, you must pursue. If you don't pursue, you cannot overtake. If you don't pursue and overtake, you cannot recover. So you have to do all of this. You must pursue and catch up with them. That's what overtake is. Catch up with them and take back that which was yours and which is still yours that the enemy took. And so David, he came up against them. He smote them from the twilight even to the evening of the next day. My goodness. There escaped not a man out of them except 400 young men, rode on camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that had been taken from them. David recovered all. Hallelujah. That's right. And he took not only what was his that was stolen, he even got him some extra spoil too. Took all the flocks and the herds, which they trade before them, and other cattle. And he said, this is David's spoil. Now, David's spoil is not what he already had. He recovered his own. But this is his extra gain. Ha! Hallelujah. Now, not only did he recover what was taken from him, he took what the other people had as well. After he had slain them, took as a spoil, you know, all their belongings as well. Now, that's a powerful story of pursuing, overtaking, and recovering all. Now, this David, he was a man that was used to pursuing when somebody or something took something from him. In the story of 1 Samuel chapter 17, where we had Goliath posing a challenge to the children of Israel, Goliath said, look, I'm the captain of these armies, our armies, the Philistine army. You know, we can all get in the battle and we can all kill each one another, and there can be a lot of people slain, but we can also, or we can also choose a captain from each side. You know, why would you have thousands of people die? Let two of us just play. You know, and they used to call it play. Abner, you know, and the rest of them say, well, you know, let's, you know, let's play. Anyway, he said, well, we don't need to everybody fight and kill one another. I will be captain on our side. You choose a captain also on your side. Let the two of us fight. And whosoever is the victor, let the armies of the other person that was vanquished surrender. And so he put that challenge out every day. Of course, nobody could challenge him because this man was huge. And in fact, his sight alone was intimidating. He carried, I mean, he had, you know, I mean, his spear was so big and everything, and he was so huge. Nobody thought they could take him down. He challenged them all the time. Until one day, Jesse sent David to go look for his brothers in the camp. David didn't go with them. He was always keeping the sheep. But his brothers were in the camp. You know, they were part of the military. And when David got there and asking around, and they were looking for his brothers, and his older brother, Eliab, found him and said, what are you doing here? You know, he said, well, you know, started to say, well, father sent me. He said, no, you don't belong here. Go back home. This place is dangerous. And David said, look, you know, what's going on here? I'm here, you know, father sent me. He said, no, I need you to go home. David said, well, not until I find what's going on here. He said, we're in war. We're in battle here. David said, well, I don't see any battle. I just see everybody standing around. What is the battle? What's going on? So he asked somebody else, said, look, go home. I know the pride of your heart. You come here to spy out the battle. He said, what battle? I don't see any battle. All I see is a, you know, bunch of people in the corners, cowering in the corner. And then he asked one another, I said, leave me alone, I'm not going anywhere. So he asked again, he asked again, he asked again. Somebody told him, said, look, here's what's been going on. There is this man that has been challenging us, taunting us, and everything. The guy is so big and so huge, none of us can face him. And he's asked that a captain will be chosen to face him, and two of them will fight. And they told him the story. And David said, oh, wow. This is the reason why you're all cowering in the corners, because of one man. There's not a one of you that can stand up to this man. Brother came to him and I told you, go home. And left him, went to another person. said, what shall be said and done to the man that take down this Goliath? I said, take down Goliath? Nobody. But I will tell you, the king had already promised a lot of things. If any man would take, David said, well, you mean even the king, nobody can take this man down? He said, well, bring me before the king. Praise the Lord. And then the king said, who is this? What is? And the rumor started going, there's a young man here that's asking about this Goliath and stuff. And the king said, bring him hither. They brought him and said, looked at him. I mean, the king just disdained him right away. He was like, you're just a kid. I don't know. He was probably just a teenager. And the king said, you can't go up against Goliath. I mean, the Goliath is a man of war from his youth and up. I mean, he has fought so many battles. I mean, we've heard of his fame. I mean, you have no experience. He said, what have you ever done? Gone in anybody? We can't. This is a suicide mission. We can't let you do that. So he gave him his armor and everything, put his on. You know, if you're going to do it, David said, I'm going to do it and I can do it. Put on the armor and so forth. He said, I can't do this. Couldn't even move. Took it off. Said, look, but let me tell you something, King. I tell you, I was indeed a shepherd boy and I still am. And that's what I do. Yeah, maybe you think I don't have this experience, but I'll tell you what. You know, one time when I kept my father's sheep, while I wasn't looking, a lion came and took one of the little lambs from the flock. And he took the lamb. My goodness. When I noticed that that happened, I went after the lion to take back what was mine. And King said, you what? You did what? Yeah. Said, look, I went after the lion. I got in a hand-to-hand combat with the lion. How do you do that? There's a lion that's taking a prey. You are just a kid, a young boy. You're going to go after the lion that's got a prey in his mouth? You don't do that. Both you and the prey will be devoured. You know? But David said, no, I went after the lion. I got these scars on my hand to prove it. And his scars, yeah, you should have seen the other guy. I got back what was mine. That's right. I took that thing from his mouth and I slew the lion and brought back the lamb into the flock. I said, wow. I said, well, that's not all. I'll tell you too. One day after the lion, another day there was a bear that came and took something, another lamb like that from the flock. Likewise, I went after and I said, not on my watch. You don't take what's mine. You know, and we got into a fight. And when that bear rose up against me and pounded his chest like that, the lamb he took was already unconscious on the floor, but he rose up against me. It was as big as this Goliath. I tell you, I've seen worse. That lion and that Goliath, I mean, the bear that rose up against me. And you know, God was preparing him too. Those bears, when they rise up like that, they can be like 7 or 8 foot tall. And he said, look, I've seen this before. And I went after him. I got back what was mine as well. And likewise, this uncircumcised Philistine, I'm going to go after him today. Now, that's someone that knows how to pursue, how to overtake, and how to recover. He did it with the lion. He did it with the bear, and he did it with the Amalekites. Pursue, overtake, and recover. And of course, you know the rest of the story with Goliath. When he went, I call it the slaying of a giant. When he went up against Goliath, all he remembered was the bear that rose up against him, pounded his chest like that. It was just as tall as Goliath, probably even bigger. And he said, well, been there, done that before. And, you know, of course, before that, he went back to his comfort zone. They tried to give him all the armor and said, I can't do that. Just give me a few minutes. Went back to the brook. Said, wow, that's the place where I've seen the Lord. And the Lord showed him, he took some 5 smooth stones out of the brook. And he took his sling and said, with this, that's all I need. And everybody said, well, just pray for him because, you know, he's going out there. He's brave enough to try it, but we don't think he's going to return. So everybody is looking. This guy, he went out against Goliath. And he said, and they blew the trumpet. They said, here comes somebody. And Goliath said, all right, well, let's do this. And he comes out, looks at him, said, are you kidding me? Am I a dog that you come out against me with a staff and a sling? I mean, he was just, I mean, looked at him and he just disdained him. And David said, yeah, you come out against me with a sword and a spear and a shield and all these things. But I come out against you in the name of the Lord, whose armies you have defied. Ha! Hallelujah. And you know, David was a man that knew how to take the fight to the enemy, but do it in the name of the Lord. Whereas all the people said to him when he was asking questions, they said, this man has come out here every day to defy the armies of Israel. Well, David said, no, he had defied the armies of the living God. So David is already going to, you know, frame this fight in his mind in a spiritual. Everybody looking at it in the natural, David coming out in the spiritual said, this man is not defying the armies of Israel. He is defying the armies of the living God. So David elevated the fight. And he said, well, I'm going after him in the name of the Lord. Now, when you do something in the name of the Lord, when the Lord goes in front of you and he's your banner, well, he say, in the name of the Lord, we will set up our posts. When the Lord goes after, in front of you in the name of the Lord like that, you put the name of the Lord out there, God will have to defend his name. And so, you know the end of the story. He did actually slay that Goliath with just one stone and a sling, the only one place in the man that was, you know, not shielded because he had all this metal armor around him. The man thought he was invincible, not, you know, nobody would take him down. But David found that one spot right between his eyes. It was open. And the angel of the Lord guided that sling right there. Boom! Smote him right between the eyes. The velocity at which David threw that thing, the angel of the Lord sped it even further. And it was like an arrow with great force. I hit that man, took him down. And before he could recover from the fall, David was right on top of him. And not only was David bold enough to strike at this man, he was bold enough to go over there. The man could have risen up from that fall and grabbed him with one hand, grabbed his throat and squeezed the life out of him. But David, the Lord being with him, went over there. He didn't even have a sword. He had to try to get this man's sword. He tried to get it. It was too heavy. He had to use two hands. He had to put down everything he had. Get two hands to grab that sword. Because he couldn't even yield. I mean, he couldn't even, you know, carry that sword. But he did. The Lord gave him strength. He took that sword up. Smote the man. Right there. Cut off his head. First, he had to remove his helmet, of course. Around his neck. And the Lord let that man, the angel of the Lord, left that man down. Pinned him down. And David got the victory over him. But I guarantee you, this David, he remembered all of that. He said, I will remember the Lord from the hill of Mizpah. I remember the Lord, you know. I remember the Lord that gave me the lion. I remember the Lord that gave me, the bear that took something from me. These Amalekites, they're also Philistines like that Goliath. I'm going after them. The Lord told me that I can go. And he went and he got what was his. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil may have taken something that was yours. You know, are you just going to sit back, let the devil have a field day, take what's yours and go like that? Well, the Lord never said we won't lose anything, but the Lord said, I will restore, saith the Lord. I will restore means something was already taken, but you're going to get it back. You know, so the devil may have already taken something. Maybe he took your health. Maybe he took your job. Maybe he took your peace. Maybe he took your finances. Maybe, you know, on and on and on. There may be something the devil already took. Now, our prayer is that we will dwell in peace. He said, my people shall dwell in peaceable habitations. The devil will take nothing from you. There's times that God gives people peace and rest like that. You know, God gave Solomon rest all around. God gave Asa rest 15 years. He had no battles, none of that stuff. You know, and that's the time they say, well, you know, the Lord has given us rest. Let's fortify. Let's build. We've told us those stories before. But there were times that the devil would take something from you. Take something from you. And it might be times when you're not looking, you know, and the devil come in there. The devil knows how to do that, too. He's like a viper, coiled up, waiting, looking when to strike. And when he's looking for a crack, you know, he's looking. Bible says, whosoever breaks the hedge, a serpent will come in and bite. So he's looking like that, you know. And one day when you're not looking, David was not looking, wasn't paying attention at that moment. The lion came in and took the thing. I mean, the bear came in and took, but he said, wow, looked around, there's one missing. I see this lion going off. I'm going after him. I mean, can you imagine the boldness of a young man go after a lion? Whoever heard of such a thing? How can you go? I mean, David should have run for his life. Well, and a hireling shepherd would have run for his life. Jesus said the hireling sees the wolf coming and he runs because the sheep are not his and the wolf will come and catch and scatter the flock. Well, the lion is even more fierce than the wolf. But this boy, he said, look, these sheep are mine and not on my watch. You're not going to do that. The lion did actually take the little lamb. It's not that he was just trying to take it. He took it. The bear actually also took it. But that's not going to stop David. David said, I'm going to go after the lion. I'm going to go after the bear. And I'm going to take back what is mine that was taken from me. So that's our lesson today from David's side. But I have another story yet to tell you. In the book of 2 Kings, chapter 8, you know, this is not David this time, you know, and this is a woman, you know, that was almost even helpless, but yet she figured out how to go after what was hers, and the Lord gave her the victory. You know, so you say, well, David, I mean, that was David. Well, okay, maybe it was David. But here is another story of a woman. You know, there was this woman, a Shunammite woman, that was always helping Elisha and so on and so forth. Even built him a little chalet in around her home, you know, someplace where the man could rest. Gave him a table, a candle lamp, a candlestick, a lamp, and so forth. I said, the man needs to study. Let's put a table there. So they asked her husband to do it, and they did it. And so, you know, one day Elisha says to her, to his servant, ask this Shunammite woman with all this kindness that she's showing us, is there something that she needs? Will she be spoken of to the king and so on? The woman said, no, I dwell in my land. I've got everything. The woman had actually a great estate. She had land. She had everything. She said, look, I've got stuff. I don't need the king. I don't need anything. I'm quite happy where I am. Well, and Elisha looked further and said, well, yeah, she may be saying that, but there's something that is lacking in her life. She doesn't have a child. He designed that. And he brought the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, by this time, you will embrace, you know, a child. The woman said, well, my Lord, let not the Lord deceive me, because, you know, maybe he should have been prayed for, laid hands upon, prophesied to, or whatever in the past. It didn't happen. So she gave up on that. She was going to live her life. She's going to be satisfied with her belongings. And, you know, right there, and she's not going to bother about that prayer anymore. But anyway, it came to pass, you know, it came to pass. And she still had her husband with her, and she got pregnant, and she had a child. And you know the rest of the story. Anyway, one day, Elisha said to this woman, he said, look, there's coming famine in the land. And you've been kind to us with all this stuff and so on. So you go, get away from here and go find a place that you can stay for 7 years. It's going to be so bad. So Elisha said unto the woman whose son he had restored to life. Remember the story of the woman that said it is well after her son had died. And Elisha restored that son back to life. Well, this is that woman. And so Elisha said to her, arise and go, thine and thy household, and sojourn wherever thou canst. For the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall come upon the land, and it will be very sore for 7 years. Well, this woman is, you know, had learned, you know, that the word of this man always comes to pass. So she gathered her household, you know, and journeyed into the land of the Philistines and stayed there for 7 years. Well, we're not told what happened in those years. But while she was gone, she lost her estate. You know, and if you abandon your land like that, though, the government will grab it. It became the government's. And so they grabbed it. And I remember she said, look, I dwell in the midst of my people. I have my own land. I have my own stuff. I don't need a king. I don't need anything. But she lost it all during those 7 years that she went away. And one day, you know, she'd been checking on and say, well, yeah, the famine is over. You know, so she's going to return to her own place. So she determined, she packed her journey and she was going to return, you know, and go to cry to the king for her house and for her land. Because by that time, it's already been confiscated because it was abandoned. It's already become property of the state. And the Lord had this thing that I call divine appointment, perfect timing. It came to pass on one day. Now, the journey from the land of, the Philistines back to her land was several days. It wasn't just an hour or two. It was several days. But the Lord timed it perfectly. It came to pass upon one day, you know, that the king in Israel says to, say, look, I've heard about this Elisha. I mean, it's Elisha, man. Tell me, you know. I pray thee, he found the servant of Elisha. He said, tell me, I pray thee, all the things that this Elisha man had done. I had heard so many things, but you were there. Tell me. So the man began to tell him, said, well, I tell you, there's a lot of things that this man did. There was even a time, you know, that, you know, the woman that we were staying with, you know, her son died. This was the son that this same Elisha, the man of God, spoke into her life. And after a while, when the boy was grown, after a few years, one day the boy actually died. And this woman came to cry to the man of God, and he went after her and brought the little boy back to life. And the king said, he did what? He raised a dead boy. Who ever heard of such a thing? And you know, while the king was considering the matter, and when, well, as the servant of Elisha was trying to tell him the details of this story, at that very moment, hallelujah, the Lord of hosts, that great God that times things perfectly in destiny, at that very moment, this woman arrived at the courthouse, you know, and, you know, she said, I got to cry to the king for something. They let her in. And while this servant was yet telling this king this story, this very moment, at that very moment, the woman arrived with her son. And Gehazi recognized the woman and said, my king, my lord, this is the woman that I was just telling you about. And this is her son. I was raised back to life. And he said, wow. And you know, you see how God times things? You know, if this woman had arrived 2 weeks before that, it wouldn't have made the impact that it made on the king. Now, if the woman had arrived a week or three after that, it wouldn't have made the impact. But this woman arrived at that very moment. She was several days it took her to get there, but the Lord timed it perfectly. The woman arrived at the very moment that this story was being told about her. And then when the Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, said, this is the woman that I was just telling you about, and this is her son that was raised back to life. I mean, that thing gripped the king like, it was just like it hit his face like a tornado. This woman's life, son was raised back to life. This is his son. How old are you now? Yeah, same. And this time around, the boy has grown a little bit because 7 years had passed and a few years passed also before they went, you know. And so I say, wow. And they say, yeah. So the king asked her, are you this woman? And did the prophet Elisha raise your son back? Say, yes. He said, wow, tell me about it. And he said, what can I do for you? I mean, he was so taken by that story that he said, what can I do for you? And the woman said, well, I tell you, king, I had a great estate, I had a great land. But yeah, this same prophet, he told me that the famine was coming. You heard of the famine? He said, yeah, we did. And he said, well, I left because he told me to leave. And I went away for 7 years and I'm now come back to ask for my land and my house back and everything. And before she even finished talking, she said, the king looked around, called some of his officers. He said, go see to it. Hallelujah. And I tell you what, this woman went back for what was hers, you know, and she got it back too. And I guarantee you, she got it back plus a lot more because the king said to her, said to the officers, he said, look, from the time that she left, calculate everything. And, you know, the king used resources that this woman would not have had to develop that land for her and develop everything. They built up the house, they developed the land because they acquired it. And they said, look, the king appointed a certain officer and said to her, restore all. Now that's the key word again. All. Restore all that was hers and all the fruit of the field since the day that she left the land until now. Restore all to her. Hallelujah. So this woman, she arose, she went after what was hers that was taken over, and she got it. And she caught up with the king. She laid her case. The Lord had prepared the king and appointed it on a time when he was asking about something that ended up being a life story of that woman. And as the story was being told, she arrived. And that thing made such an impact on the king that he gave this commandment, restore all to her. Hallelujah. So this woman, she recovered all. Ladies and gentlemen, God has ways to make you recover all. Thank you, Jesus. You will not only recover some, but you will recover all. And when the Lord does his own recovery, well, it means that there will be no trace, no evidence, no remembrance of the loss. Hallelujah. That's the way the Lord does his thing. In the book of Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 10, and also Isaiah verse 51, chapter 51 and verse 11, I will read the one in 51 and 11. I like that one better, but it says, you know, pretty much the same thing. This is what the Lord is going to do. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning will flee away, and there'll be no remembrance of it. Ha! Glory to God. You know, when the Lord orchestrates your recovery, you will recover all, and there will be no more remembrance of the loss. Praise ye the Lord. Now, here's how the Lord put that out in Isaiah chapter 43, you know, and let's read what he said. And this is part of the theme for us during this consecration as well. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Now, that's a commandment, and that's also an ordinance that the Lord is bringing out. I will erase the memory of the loss. Glory to God. I will remove the memory of the loss. Hallelujah. Because you will gain back so much more that the memory of the loss will fade away. Even the old things, what you lost, and all of that, in the new thing that I will do, you will not even remember your loss. Hallelujah. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. And shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Glory to God. Now, why will the Lord do this? How will he do it? Well, the how is up to him. But why he would do it is because, you know, he said, these people have I formed for myself, and they shall show forth my praise. That's the reason why he would do it. He will be glorified in your life. The Lord will be glorified in the recovery. The Lord will be glorified in the restoration. That's what glorifies him. That's why he would do it. Praise the Lord. He said, I will restore, saith the Lord, the years that the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmerworm, and the locust have eaten. I will restore it all. And my people shall eat in plenty and shall glorify me. Let's read Joel chapter 2 and verse 23. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he had given you the former rain moderately, and he will now cause down to come for you the rain, the former rain, the latter rain, together within the space of 1 month. The floors shall be full of weed, the vats shall overflow with wine and oil, and I will restore, saith the Lord, to you the years that the locust has eaten, and you will not even remember the loss anymore. I will restore to you the years that the cankerworm has eaten, and I will restore to you the years that the caterpillar has eaten, the palmerworm I will restore, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and will praise the name of the Lord your God, that I dealt with you so wondrously, and my people shall never be ashamed, neither will you remember the loss anymore. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, and I am in the midst of Israel. And the Lord is my name, and there is none else. And I am your God, and my people shall never be ashamed. Ha! Thank you, Jesus. I will restore to you the years that the cankerworm has eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmerworm I will restore. I will restore, saith the Lord. I will restore to you the years the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmerworm, all of them I will restore, saith the Lord. Now, there are years that you may have lost. Yours may be months, yours may be weeks, yours may be years. Doesn't matter. The Lord says, rise up, pursue, overtake, and recover all. Now that's A-L-L. All. That's it. not just some, but all. The years that the locusts, I will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten. The caterpillar, the cankerworm, and the palmerworm. I will restore. The Lord said, I will restore it all. That which the locusts ate and left, well, the cankerworm came and ate some of it. That which the cankerworm ate and left, the caterpillar came and ate it. That which the caterpillar ate and left, the palmerworm came and ate. And it looks like from one loss to another. But the Lord said, I am now risen to cause you to recover all. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Well, the Lord says, I make all things new. All things new. And I will cause you to inherit a crown of glory. And I shall restore everything and you will recover all. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord loves to do new things. I mean, it's always in the business of doing new things. He loves new things. Even till the end, he says, and I saw a new heaven. Revelation 21 and verse 1. And a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, new Jerusalem. Now, God loves to do these new things. I would do a new thing. Coming down from God out of heaven prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Hallelujah. You know, so when the Lord did, he said, and God, even our God, shall be with them. The Lord shall dwell with them, even as a man dwelleth. And they shall be his people. And God himself shall be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrowing nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. The Lord loves to make things new. Right, these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God. And he shall be my son. Isn't that beautiful? The Lord will recover. The Lord will restore to you and cause you to recover all. All. Now, if you can believe it, well, and all things are possible to him that believe. David believed, so he went after the lion. David believed, so he went after the bear. David believed, so he went after the Amalekites. Now, I'm going to pray over the room today. And I will ask God, and I did already. Shall we pursue? And the Lord said, yes. Will we overtake? The Lord says, yes. Shall I recover? The Lord says, yes. Three times he said, yes. Pursue, yes. Overtake, that is, catch up, yes. And recover, yes. Oh, and I guarantee you, the Lord knows how to do these things. You know, sometimes we think, well, a lot of time is lost and so forth. I've lost time, I've lost this, I've lost that. Perhaps you did, but God, he has a time. He has a way to close the gap. There's a story in Matthew chapter 20 that Jesus told. And I call him the God of the 11th hour. The God that can restore. Hallelujah. In this story, the Lord told this lesson. And he said, well, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that was an householder. And he went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard to work. you know. And so he went out again about the third hour, saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give unto you. And they went their way. And he went again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, and did likewise. And then about the 11th hour, when there was only 1 hour left in the day. Remember, that day was 12 hours. And he said, he went again and found. And he found others standing idle. And he says unto them, why stand ye here idle all the day long? And they said unto him, because no man has hired us. So he said unto them, all right, well, go also ye into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, ye shall receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, which has borne the heat of the day, you know, which had only worked for an hour, he said, give unto them a penny. And so they received a penny. And then the other ones that came at the ninth hour and the sixth hour and so forth, they also received a penny. And so the one that came at the first that came, they also received a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these lads have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. And they grumbled and murmured in their hearts. Well, they said, so he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Did you not? And I say, yeah, but, you know, I mean, how can you give me a penny? Now, a penny was a whole day's wage back then. It's not this kind of penny that you're talking about. You know, how can you give us this and then give them? I mean, we have been here for almost 12 hours. And these ones have been here for just an hour. You're going to make them equal to us? Well, and the master said unto him, take what is thine and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Ha! Hallelujah. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is an eye evil because my heart is good? So the last shall be first. Ha, hallelujah. And the first shall be last. And God can close the gap. Perhaps you've been waiting on something for a long time and it seemed like you never got it. Or you got it or you lost it. Well, we've covered the stories where you had it and you lost it. You pursued and you recovered all. David did. This woman, Shunammite, she did too. There are other stories in the Bible. And then we're covering this story now of where you didn't even have it because you waited, you waited, you waited, you waited, and you got nothing. And it seemed like a lot of people were ahead of you in the game. But all of a sudden, here comes the master. And he's going to change your story. He's going to bring an atmosphere shift in a moment. He's going to change all of that and make you equal. Ha, that's right. To those who have had it for a long time, he can do it too. Story's right here. Hallelujah. So what is your need today? What is the thing that aileth you? Where is the shoe hurting, so to speak? What is that that is pinching you? What is the thing that you've been crying over? David said, look, I forgot to even eat my meat, you know, and so forth. My flesh clung onto to my skin and all of that. You know, my tears have been my companion all night long. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know, he will wipe away your tears. Glory to God. He will cause something new to happen for you. And during this fasting day and this consecration day, I stood before the Lord and I said, wipe away their tears, O God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. My soul thirsted for God, for the living God, he said. as the heart panteth after the water brooks, Psalm 42 and verse 1. So panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God and for the living God. When shall I come and appear before the Lord? My tears have been my meat day and night, when they continually say unto thee, unto me, where is thy God? Where is thy God? I mean, you boast about this God all the time, but look at you. You got nothing to show for it. Well, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. I had gone with the multitude and went with them to the house of God. I went with a voice of joy and praise. I went with a multitude that kept holy day. And while they were praising the Lord, while we were jumping up and down, shouting the victory, but in my heart, there was sorrow. Do you resemble that remark? There are times when people are rejoicing. You come on this platform, people are giving testimony. You go to the house of worship, people are rejoicing, jumping up and down. But in your heart, there is sorrow. See, there is pain. You remember your tears in the night. You come out in the day, you wipe your face, you look like you're happy, but there's sorrow in your heart. You know, because, you know, there's this thing the devil has taken from you, or there's this thing you've always wanted that you never got. And it looks like you're in the 11th hour and time has passed you by. But ladies and gentlemen, time never passes the Lord by. He can roll back the hands of the clock. He can call back Lazarus from the grave after 4 days being dead and stinking. The sister said, well, you know, it's too late now. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. We called unto you while he was dying, and you didn't come. Now you show up. And Jesus said, don't worry about that. Your brother will rise again. Hallelujah. Now, you wonder, why in the world did Jesus allow the situation to go from bad to worse, and even the worst happened? You know, when he was going to, when the Lord was going to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, their situation actually got worse, a whole lot worse. Pharaoh said, you are making these people idle. Therefore, I'm going to make their situation worse. Let there be more burden laden upon the men. Give them more work to do. Take away the portion of straw that you used to give them. Let them go find themselves. But do not diminish the tailor bricks that they must bring. Make their work harder. And the people, you know, crumbled against Moses. Say, you know, you should have let us alone. You know, I mean, now you've made situation worse for us. And the situation got worse for them. God said, I'm bring you out, but the situation got worse. Now, God may have told you, I'm going to do something for you, will emerge, I will do this and that. And so, but no, evil happened. Situation got worse and worse. You know, they called unto Jesus, your friend Lazarus, whom thou lovest, is sick. Come and heal him or do something, Lord. And the Lord did nothing. In fact, when he had heard that Lazarus was sick, he abode still in the same place 2 days. I mean, he could have started going back, you know, to that place. It's a several days journey to go from, you know, the place where they were to where those people were. It would have been several days of journey. But he abode still. And then when he knew that Lazarus was dead, then he said, ha, the man is dead now. Now, of course, he said, this sickness is not unto death. But then the man died. I mean, so it just looks like everything has gone south. First, you tell us the man is not going to die. Now he's dead. Then, you know, you had opportunity to have healed him when he was sick and dying. You didn't. You waited until they had cried and cried, cried their eyes out until there was no more strength in them. The mourners came. They all cried. Everybody came. They put their head, hands on their head. They cried. They put ashes on their head. They cried. And then they paid a lot of money to bury this man, buy the sepulcher and bury the man. Do all these things and so forth. And days after, now you show up. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He can show up after you've been in the grave 4 days. Doesn't matter to him at all. As a matter of fact, he did it on purpose. So I was glad for your sakes that I wasn't there to the end that you might believe that the Son of Man has power even over the dead. Ha! Glory to God. And Jesus appeared on the scene. He told the woman, don't worry about it. If you can only believe, your brother will live again. Because she didn't understand it. And then when it was time, Jesus said, Father, the hour is here. Huh? And I know you heard me already, but for their sakes, I say it, that they might believe. Lazarus, come out of there. I wonder, you know, you could have heard a pin drop. Because everybody says, come out of the grave after 4 days. Even his sister said, this man is stinking already. He said, well, you know, you wait and see the glory of God. If you can only believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. And Lazarus, he came out of that grave, boy. When Jesus calls, even death will respond. And they give up the dead at the voice of the master. There is nothing that can withstand that voice. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All that Jesus needs is to speak one word in your direction. And everything else will respond. Death will give up. Everything will respond. Jesus spoke one word one time to Peter. But not Peter was not even the one that heard it. That fish heard it. Jesus spoke to Peter and said, go down to the lake and cast your net. The first fish that you catch will have a coin in it sufficient to pay taxes for you and me. As soon as Jesus spoke that word, that fish, there were hundreds of yards or even miles away, they heard it. And there was one coin in that lake, boy, and all the fish are going to fight to get it because they will respond to the voice of the master. I'm going to be the one to get that coin. And they're going to fight for it. Jesus doesn't care whether they fight for it or not, but there will be the first fish that you catch. Come out there, you'll catch that coin. One time Jesus spoke to Peter. He said, Peter said, Lord, we've been there all night and we caught nothing. Jesus said, do it again. And the moment that Jesus said, do it again and go over here, this time on this side, catch your net on this side. The moment he said that, all the fish heard his voice. And they're going to rush to that side that Jesus spoke. Because the Lord is the master. All creation respond to his voice. Hallelujah. Peter said, look, we've been there. We've done that. The Lord said, do it again. Do it again. And the voice of the master carried like that. God gave his word. And greater the company that published, even fish will carry, will respond to that voice. Glory to God. And so now, ladies and gentlemen, what is your situation? What is your request? What is the thing that is in your heart today that you thought you've lost? Behold, I say unto you by the word of the Lord today, rise up, pursue, overtake, and recover all. In Jesus' name. Now I'm going to pray over the room. You heard the word of the Lord. It's in your hands now. What will you do with it? Father, I pray over the room this morning. Everyone that's in this room, hearing us and listening to my voice. Hallelujah. The voice of the Lord in my mouth today. Glory to God. It's not really my voice, it's his voice. I'm just a repeater. To repeat his word. Hallelujah. Take not away from his words. Add not to it. Let's rebuke thee. So Lord, I have spoken your word today, even as you gave it. Now, O Lord, if I have spoken your word, just like you gave it. Now, therefore, O Lord, perform the word that was spoken. Let that which you have spoken by your mouth, let it be performed by your hand as it is this day in the life of your children, in Jesus' name. Now, arise and pursue, for you will surely overtake, and you will surely recover all, saith the Lord. And you will remember no more even the days of loss. For I, the Lord, will bring an abundance of recovery, and you will recover all. And then some. Just like David recovered and then he got some spoils. You will recover all, saith the Lord. For am I a God at hand only and not even a God afar off? that which you thought was gone afar off. Am I not a God that is there already? I will bring again even that which is lost. And I will bring it back unto you. But you must arise and you must pursue. And you will certainly overtake and recover all, saith the Lord. Glory to God. Now, Lord, I pray that there will be an inspiration that will rise up in the hearts of your children today. That on this day, that's right, now that you've heard the word of the Lord, the Holy Spirit will give you specifics of your own particular strategy of how you recover all. But this is the word to the congregation of the Lord today. The voice of the Lord is before his camp and his army. The voice of the Lord is strong. Hallelujah. He uttered his voice before his camp. And the Lord has uttered his voice today that you should go forward. Hallelujah. Don't stand still. Rise up and pursue and go forward. And you will overtake. And the Lord will restore into your hands all that the enemy has taken from you and even more. Praise the Lord. Now the Lord bless everyone that's in the room today. All of you that are listening, may the Lord inspire this faith and confidence in your heart. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now on this fasting day, we're going to stand. I have stood in the message of the Lord. And you are going to stand in the word of the Lord. And you are going to declare that I will arise. I will pursue. I will overtake. And I will recover all. For that's what the Lord has spoken. And the Lord said, the word which I have spoken shall no longer be prolonged. Glory to God. But that word will come to pass, even as I have spoken it. And ye shall no longer use this proverb, that the effect of every vision is delayed. The Lord has said it, delay, delay, delay. The Lord said, no more delay. According to the words of Ezekiel chapter 12, verses 25 and 28. I will no more delay, neither shall my words be prolonged anymore. For the word that I have spoken shall now come to pass. That you will pursue, you will overtake, and you will recover all, saith the Lord. Now, the Lord bless every one of you with faith, with confidence, with assurance that the Lord has spoken. It's in your hands. And you move according to the word of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit will give you instruction and strategy, and you will recover all. And testimonies will abound to the glory of God. In Jesus' name. For the Lord is strong. Yeah. He is strong that executed his word. And you will be strong too when you are about to go out upon the strength of his word. Hallelujah. The zeal of the Lord will propel you forward. And you will accomplish. The word of God will accomplish in you. The reason why the Lord is sending you forth to pursue, to overtake, and to recover. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.